Stanley, in that track, you also mention William Shakespeare. Now, what do you think about him?
I believe Shakespeare was the greatest satirist of all, you know. His subtle humour, deep in the brainbocker of his mind, allowed him to put all the serious things of his day, like royalty there, old crown, Auburn sceptre and dangly, politicals, what, social behold, egotism there, and snobbery, up nose and sticky how, if you understand me. He put all these into perspective. His genius was that he was able to entertain everybody and avoid offensive of to those if you might otherwise have him beheaded and chopped off like Thomas More, you see, or perhaps even assassinated. Because, like his contemporary Christopher Marlowe, who, as you know, had a knife and stabby in the chest there in Deptford in southeast London. Oh, folly.
I understand you're very much into poetry. So what are your thoughts, for example, on Coleridge and Wordsworth?
Oh, that's a question, Splendid Ho, yes. Yes, you see, a whole programme could be covered on these two great poets, each so different in character and convey the broad canvas all humanity focus in their imaginative thinking. Now, take Coleridge's Ancient Mariner or Kubla Khan. Now, one, the vivid word picture of a violent sea, their rushing waves runs man overboard, and through this folly, what the rugged rocks and endurance of man at odds, and yet it were in harmony with the great forces of the cosmos. Now, with Wordsworth, the subtle beauties at the other end of the spectrum, well, in nature, in solitude, like wandering lonely as a cloud all dangling in the heavenly bode, and suddenly that host of daffy-down-dillies all jumping huffalo dowdy in the breeze, what? Just like his heart does at the end, when on his couch in pensive moody lie, thoughts flash upon his inward eyebold. I mean, that is really Wordsworth giving it his most communique of the joys of nature itself.
Tell me, have you heard of Ralph Waldo Trine?
Trine? No. No, I fear Mr. Trine seems to escape my curriculum. You see, I wonder if perhaps his first names were taken from Ralph Waldo Emerson, you know, the sage of Concord or Massachusetts. The nearest name that comes to my mind is the Antipodean S. Trine, who used the pseudonym Shrine as an alternative form of English Australian. To communicate idiomatically, a down under, you see. You see, Cobber, the way to talk down under is to invent your own language, which they do so well, and call it Strine, you see.
Now, you've an amazing gift of language, and it seems to me an intuitive feel for rhyme and rhythm.
Well, I believe it was based on a desire to emulate all the writers, both comic and serious, whose works had fascinated me since childhood. By accident, I found that in a difficult situation, when in a desperately nervous state, I tried to explain to a policeman why I was facing the wrong way, half a load down the street, my words just jumbled out, but containing the gist of my predicament, which I was in. Now, the policeman was most helpful because he understood my meaning, you see, but later, when he thought about it, my BBC colleague laughed so much I found that my language vehicle could be used to entertain people with a little give a chuckload or a smile wistful, anything like that. Not so much a belly laugh, though, but a little lip smiley that creating keeps on and on and on. Oh, yes.
Absolutely fascinating. Now, we're going to listen to another track from Sons of Arca, and this one's called The Sky Shall Vanish. It features what some would say was the first British rap artist, Manchester's punk poet John Cooper Clarke.